This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Hello, this is Gordon Smith from Catholic Radio Indy. I'm here with Father Kevin Haynes today from the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. Lafayette in Indiana, I never get that right, Father. Welcome to the show, Father.
Hello. Good to be here.
Very good to see you. And here is a little spoiler alert. Father Kevin, that's how we refer to him at St. Maria Goretti here, has been, one way or another, my parish priest for over 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Hard to believe.
What an old guy.
But old.
I'm ancient.
Young in spirit, always young in spirit.
Hopefully.
In my mind, I have a lot of visions of you in the early years when you were the associate pastor at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And I remember one time when you, there was a picture of you with a funny wig on. So, Father, thank you for agreeing to be on the Sons of Melchizedek program today. We appreciate
it. It's my great honor.
And we appreciate you so much and your vocation. This is a show about vocations, and we're going to delve a little bit into your background, a little bit of your life. But also, I want to thank you for the years that you've spent in various parishes ministering to my family. Four generations of them. It shouldn't make you feel old, though. So first, let's find out a little bit about where you're from and
sure.
What the early years were like. Tell me about Logansport.
I was born and raised in 1960 in Logansport, Indiana. I am the oldest of four boys of Ken and Roseanne Haynes. My father was not Catholic. He's kind of a distinguishing factor, I guess, with my family. My mom was very Catholic and was Italian-American and very involved in our parish, very involved in her faith. My brothers and I were all raised in the church. We went to Catholic schools at our parish as long as we could and as long as they were offered to us.
And what parish was that?
It was St. Vincent de Paul Parish, which is important to say because when I was growing up, there were three parishes in Logansport, St. Vincent de Paul being one of them, also St. Bridget's and St. Joseph's. And I believe in 1986, those three parishes were consolidated into All Saints Parish.
I see. So you went to Catholic grade school at
St. Vincent de Paul
in Logan.
And they went up to, they the last year you could be at the parish, and the parish school was sixth grade. So when I graduated from sixth grade, I had to transfer into one of the public junior high schools. And I was sent to, because of where we lived, I went to Columbia Middle or junior high school in Logansport. And then after that, went to Logansport High School. So I'm a Barry, one of the Mighty Barrys.
Mighty Barry. Well, that's very interesting, Father. The times that you were growing up, were you having thoughts about becoming a priest at that time?
You know, not so much. My mom especially would mention it to my brothers and I. We had priests over the house, and the sisters came over to the house, and some of them also mentioned it. And you know, I had thought about it before. Certainly played priest like most Catholic boys do when I was young. Made my brothers serve, and you know, would make the Naco wafers or make host out of the Wonder Bread, and we would play Mass, but not really thought about it very seriously until I got into high school.
And so you went to public high school in Logansport. Where did you go to college?
Went to St. Meinrad College in Southern Indiana.
So not a Purdue or IU guy. Mm-hmm. St. Meinrad College, that sounds like a vocation calling right there. Had you already made a decision, or were you discerning yet?
I was certainly still discerning. When I, it's kind of a funny thing. I have to say that when I went to seminary, I went with an angry heart. I was one of the probably few guys go to seminary, not really pleased and somewhat angry. And I had had, when I was in high school, I had had a very powerful experience with Christ and the scriptures and kind of starting a relationship with Jesus and that was at a non-denominational gathering or kind of celebration of the faith. And, you know, you would think that that would lead me to be very strong, go right back to my faith. But because I didn't know that much about my faith, even having gone to Catholic high school, I guess I wasn't asking the right questions. I really felt like, why didn't the church tell me about Jesus and how real Jesus was and how powerful the scriptures were and how very powerful prayer is? And I am somewhat embarrassed and ashamed to have to admit that I learned a lot about those things in a non-Catholic setting and with interdenominational friends. And you know, so a lot of my friends were Catholic and a lot of them were not Catholic, but we kind of all learned to pray and to develop this relationship with Jesus really through, you know, not a Catholic program.
And that's okay. God has his own ways and his own design for our lives. It's all in God's providence, of course. And you said something I'm going to have to disagree with. And you said something about you were angry. And I need to tell you, in 30 years that I've known you, I don't think I've seen you angry one time.
Well,
a total of zero. And if you can sit at home or in your car listening to this and you don't have the benefit of the visual, everything that Father Kevin does and says is done with a smile on his face. You can kind of almost hear it through the microphone. He's smiling right now. So
thank you. You know, rather than anger, maybe it was a feeling of being disappointed. You know, it's like, why didn't I pick this up in the Catholic? And actually, that's what I would have to learn. And I tell you, the priest that helped me very much as when I was a junior in high school was a priest of the Diocese of Lafayette, Indiana, Father Rick Tucker. And we didn't go to St. Joseph at that time. He was at St. Joe's. My family was still at St. Vincent's. But my parents knew Father Tucker, I believe, through Curcio, the Curcio movement. And so they sent me to talk to Father Tucker one afternoon because I was having these issues. And Father Tucker was great. He was a great priest, great man. And he just let me vent for the longest time. And finally, when I got to the end, he said, you know, you may be right. You know, the Catholic Church is not perfect. We got a lot of things to work on. And the next question really was what changed my life when he asked, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? And I remember telling Father Tucker, "It's like, hey, it's not my job. It's your job. You got the funny little shirt with the collar, and you know that's up to you to work on." And he said, "No." He said, "Kevin, I disagree. You know, by your baptism, you have a responsibility. You have an accountability to the church and to make the church better, to make the church the best it can be." And the next words out of his mouth, "I think you should think about being a priest." And by that time, I really was not thinking about it very seriously. But once he said that, literally for months after that conversation with Father Tucker, that would not go away. It stuck in my mind, kept coming back. The more I tried to run from it, the more I tried to do something else, it just kept coming back, that I had to go try. And so when I say that I went out of anger, it was not really anger, because by that time I had certainly made my peace. I realized it was not the Catholic Church that had the problem. It was that I didn't know how to listen, and I didn't know how to hear the Catholic Church calling me to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it sounds like it'd be so easy and so clear, but I think there are a lot of Catholics that don't see that and don't feel that call, certainly don't feel that experience of that personal relationship with Jesus. You know, we can go to communion, we can have all the sacraments, we can have all the scripture, we can have the Catholic Church, 2,000 years of Catholic Church. And yet, if we don't see it to all of us leading us to Jesus Christ, you know, we miss out. We miss the point. And I didn't get that as a kid. You know, later on as an older teen and certainly as a young adult, and you get it.
Well, you've fulfilled your responsibility, and Didn't mean to contradict you about the anger thing, but you've done it with humor, love, and kindness.
Thank you.
We're so thankful for your vocation.
Gordon, thank you so much.
So at St. Meinrad, you talked to Father Tucker.
Well, before I went to St. Meinrad, I talked to Father Tucker and then went, but really with a searching heart, I also went. I certainly didn't go to St. Meinrad thinking I was going to really end up being a priest, but I went with, I had to find out. I had this kind of inkling that wouldn't go away, and I went to seminary to find out, and it
and
helped.
4 years there, 4 years.
4 years.
And at some point in time, there weren't a lot of dating opportunities at St. Meinrad, I
there
would imagine.
There were not, no.
So you were put in contact with a lot of priests and monks.
Correct.
And in good company, I would think.
Absolutely.
And something turned the corner there for you.
Very much.
What was that?
You know, I think that in high school and through, you know, my friends in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and, you know, several, and eventually also through the Catholic youth groups in Logansport, I fell in love with Jesus Christ. And I realized that Jesus isn't just a nice idea, but Jesus is very real and very powerful when you let him be in your lifetime. And so I had fallen in love with Jesus before I went to St. Meinrad, before I went to seminary. What truly happened at St. Meinrad was I fell in love with the Catholic Church. And that's a lot harder to love, Gordon, than Jesus. You know, Jesus is perfect. Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus is in heaven taking care of all of us. And Jesus is very, very easy to love and fall in love with. The Catholic Church, however, is big and old and moves very slow and has 2,000 years of history. And the Catholic Church is not always the easiest thing to love. But I fell in love with the Catholic Church.
Well, good. That's a great story, and that's a beautiful chapel down there. Is it a basilica or a chapel? What is that at St. Meinrad?
It's an archabbey.
Archabbey, of
course,
yes.
Yeah, it's one of the few, I think there are only two of them in the northern western hemisphere, if I'm correct.
Father, tell us what happened when you fell in love with Jesus and you decided that you might have a vocation. You were still at St. Meinrad, but pretty soon after that, you decided to go to Rome.
Well, the offer came to me, to the Bishop, Bishop Fulcher, Bishop of the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, for a very short period of time. It was Bishop Fulcher who had been to Rome himself to study, who offered me the opportunity to go to Rome and study for graduate work or for theology. And so in September of 1983, I moved to Rome. At Bishop Fulcher's urging. It would be just a few months later, I remember very clearly, I was sitting at my desk in my room at the North American College in Rome, and Vatican Radio announced that a Midwestern bishop dies in fiery car crash. And I thought, well, I should listen to this because maybe it's one of the bishops from Indiana or Illinois or Ohio, somewhere close to us. And lo and behold, that is how I found out that Bishop Fulcher, our own bishop, had passed away in a really tragic, very, very sad car accident and probably suffered greatly in the last moments of his life. But it was a great shock. And then a few months later, of course, was when Bishop Higgy.
That is a terrible tragedy for Bishop Fulcher, and it's a good place to take a short break here. We're going to be right back with Father Kevin Haynes from the St. Maria Goretti Conference Room.
Do you like game shows? How about trivia? You're listening to Catholic Radio, so I assume you're interested in the Catholic Church. Catholic Challenge 2.0 is the newest addition to our programming lineup here on Catholic Radio Indy. A 30-minute quiz show covering almost everything Catholic. Catholic Challenge 2.0 tests your knowledge and teaches at the same time. Check it out every Thursday afternoon at 4:30 right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back. This is Gordon Smith, and you're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek program. I'm interviewing Father Kevin Haynes from St. Maria Goretti today.
Hello again.
And before the break, we were talking about Rome and the Angelicum, where you got your seminary training. And you can finish that part up, Father, but pretty much after that, you came back to the States, and you became a priest, and your first assignment, I think, was at St. Ambrose in
Anderson, Indiana.
Yep. So, carry on.
Okay. was in Rome. I got a very fine degree from the Angelicum, from the Dominicans there, and came back back to the States then in 1987 to came immediately to become a deacon in 1986, and then in 1987 was ordained for the priesthood. And Bishop Higgy, who was bishop by that time, sent me my first assignment was with Father Ed Dont at St. Ambrose Parish in Anderson, Indiana. Loved St. Ambrose. It was so fun. It was a great time. And so lots of young families, a school, youth groups, and got to go to work. I got to share my enthusiasm with people lots of ways, my love for Christ, my love for the church, and greatly enjoyed the community there at St. Ambrose.
And at St. Ambrose, you then went from St. Ambrose to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, right?
Actually, I had a stop. I had a little detour there, I guess, at our cathedral in Lafayette.
Oh, the cathedral.
From 1990 to 1992, I was associate pastor at our cathedral in Lafayette.
Well, you know, our new radio station in Lafayette has its tower directly across from the 50 or so cement stairs at the front of the cathedral.
So that's awesome.
We are very happy to have that radio signal up in Lafayette now. And
hello to the church in Lafayette, Indiana.
Yes, and we're serving the bishop directly up there in Tippecanoe County now.
Yeah.
When you got to the cathedral, you then went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and that's where I first met you.
Yes, summer of 1992. When I arrived, the weekend that I arrived at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, I love to tell this. They were having an ice cream social that they had once every year in the summertime, usually in July, around the Feast of Our Lady at Mount Carmel. Well, because I arrived there that weekend, I thought they did that every weekend, or that we were going to have ice cream every Sunday afternoon. So I was kind of disappointed the next weekend. When
well, it's Carmel. I mean, they have ice cream.
They have ice cream, yeah.
I do remember.
From the street signs, doesn't it?
I remember my first homily that you said, and it started out with the words, "Wouldn't it be cool?" And I think it was food related.
But I'm sure.
So your time in Italy started a lifelong love of the country of Italy. In fact, you've taken many parishioners and friends and family to Italy, to
pilgrimage.
Rome, and also specifically to Assisi. Can you explain about that, Father?
Sure. The Italian government asked me to do this to support the economy. No, I'm kidding. My family, obviously, my maternal grandparents were born in Italy, and very proud of that heritage and to come from that country, my roots there, and I've greatly enjoyed my time there in school. And there's so much of the faith, so many things. I mean, you know, obviously the Vatican and the Pope, but so much of our tradition is also based there. And so it's been a great honor. In fact, I believe there are over 300 people that have gone with me, both from Our Lady of Mount Carmel and from St. Maria Goretti, who have gone on pilgrimage with me over the years to Italy. It's been great fun and a great experience to get to share that part of our faith with a lot of people.
And not a lot of priests can say this about Italy, but you brought the bells back from Italy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You want to explain that to our audience a little bit?
Most people go, you know, they buy one of those snow globes, I guess, or maybe a crucifix or a statue. I go to Italy, I buy bells because we needed bells. And I ended up I found out that the pontifical bell company in Italy makes bells that go all over the world, including the bells at St. Peter's. And so in 2016, 2017, St. Maria Goretti was building a bell tower and needed bells. We bought our bells from the Marinelli family, one of the third oldest company in the entire world. That family has been making bells clear back from the 9th century on. And so it was a great honor to go to meet them and have them make our bells for here in Westfield.
Well, thanks for doing that extra trip to get the bells. And
you got to buy bells. You might as well buy them from the best, right, I guess?
That's right. Pontifical. Father, tell me, do you have any unusual hobbies?
Unusual hobbies. There are probably people around here who'd say I have a lot of unusual hobbies. But you know, I'd probably say the number one thing, I'm a car guy. I've been a car guy since I was as long as I can remember. My parents told me stories about hanging on the steering wheel when I was one. And so I can't explain it. I don't know. I like racing. I like reading about cars. I like working on cars. I like driving cars. I'm a gearhead, I guess.
I'm going to go back to the vocation part of the story here. Okay. You said your father wasn't Catholic. Your mom was very Catholic.
Right. I would point out that my non-Catholic father went to Mass with us every Sunday. And that was very important to my brothers and I to see that.
Sure, God bless him.
Yeah.
It takes strong fathers.
Absolutely. Every family needs a strong father, whether it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or not. But my father in particular, our entire parish, I assumed that he was Catholic. No, I don't think anybody knew that he wasn't. He was always helping out. My mother always had volunteered him for different things. And so, but he never went to communion. I guess that was kind of the thing that stuck out to everybody. And I remember my brothers and I praying for his conversion. And he did eventually convert. In the early 1990s, he converted and became Catholic.
That's a wonderful story. How was the support of your parents, your non-Catholic father, but that was there all the time anyway, and your mother? Did they hit you over the head with a baseball bat, or did they give you a little latitude and room, encouragement? How did that go?
You know, my parents were great. They were cautious, I would say cautiously supportive. My non-Catholic father was actually more supportive than my Catholic mother. But I think that they were just very concerned that I was doing it for the right reasons and that I was truly doing God's will, what God wanted. And they wanted me to be happy and to do what God asked. And so they were very supportive, always prayed, always took care of me and helped me in any way, shape, or form that they could. But they really wanted to make sure I was doing it for God, for Jesus, and not for them or not for anybody else. But truly, truly for God.
Well, they might have been encouraging the trait of listening.
Absolutely.
And you do have to listen for God's call, right?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, and that's hard to do in our world. You know, God is, today, in 2023, God is calling all kinds of people to do all kinds of different things, including some people to be priests. And the problem is not that God is not calling. The problem that we don't have a problem with God calling people. Just like he has for the past 2,000 years, he's still calling people. The problem we have is people not listening. You know, our ears are so full of everything else. The internet, the movies, the TV, you know, there's a lot of good, but there's also a lot of stuff that just filler and gets in the way of God. And so sometimes we have to give God the chance and to give him the benefit of the doubt even, that he might very well be calling you to do something for him if you just listen and if you just give him that opportunity.
So parents have to be encouraging, but in particular, not discouraging.
Correct.
And they need to instruct their boys and their girls in being open to listen to God's call.
Absolutely.
And not fill it with video games, cell phone, you know, whatever.
Right. You know, all those things have a place. All those things have a place, but I think what we as people of faith have to do is we really need to make sure that God gets his place too. God gets his place, his time, his opportunity to work in all of our lives, including our kids. And it does start in the family. You know, what goes on in the family is so absolutely essential to vocations, to church, to following God's will. You know, we learn that so much of that in our families.
We're talking to Father Kevin Haynes today from the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. This is Gordon Smith, and I'm the host of Sons of Melchizedek. Father, you are a son of Melchizedek.
Amen, amen.
Priests of old.
That's the darndest word to spell. I have had several conversations before this interview, and it's just like nobody knows how to spell.
It is super hard.
It is hard enough to say, to learn how to say it correctly. Which we all have to do for the Eucharistic prayer, but to spell it is virtually, and it's not, of course, it's not in spell check. You know, spell check was invented for me. I'm not the world's greatest speller, but Melchizedek is not in spell check.
Well, that's because it's Old Testament, okay? August 15th is coming up, and that is the year that St. Maria Goretti became a parish independent of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Prior to that, they were kind of a satellite parish. There's an ecclesial word for that, I think. But
mission parish.
Mission parish, right. That was right, mission. And in some ways, your name is sort of synonymous because you're a founding pastor of this parish.
This means I'm old again.
Well, sorry about that. It all happens to all of us one year at a time.
It does.
And December 8th is particularly a meaningful date in the Maria Goretti calendar. You want to explain a little bit about what December 8th is?
Well, you know, we tried to use the Marian feast for all the important dates of St. Maria Goretti. The first Mass in 1994 at St. Maria Goretti was held on December 8th. The dedication of the new church in 2004 was also held on December 8th. We became an independent parish on August 15th of 2000. So we will be an independent parish for 23 years here in just a few weeks.
And have we had any vocations come out of those 23
yes,
years?
Yes, we have. We've been very, very blessed. We have, as you know, your daughter, Sister Marie Claire, is from the parish, very proud of our sister. We also have had three priests to come out of the parish. Very proud of all three of them and look forward to the good work that they're going to do. And we've had three permanent deacons. Actually, no, I'm sorry, four permanent deacons from the parish also. You know, they don't let the permanent deacons come back to the parish. And so that's why I lost count there, I guess, because as soon as we get them ordained, we send them to the diocese, and then the diocese send them off someplace else. So we're very proud of all those young men and women that, you know, people are listening. We do the Elijah Cup here at St. Maria Goretti, where we send one of our chalices home at all of our Masses on Sunday, asking a family to pray for more vocations. Because again, that's where it starts, is with family and parishes praying for more priests and more sisters and more deacons and more brothers. And so we have tried to do it, and it works. You know, it does work. So we're very proud of all those, and we look forward to many more young men and women from St. Maria Goretti, from the Diocese of Lafayette, from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, who will hear God's call, and answer it and go and build God's kingdom with an enthusiastic and loving heart.
Well, they have to be listening. So
they do.
We have to encourage that listening. Thank you.
Including Catholic Radio.
Including Catholic Radio, Indy. Thank you, Father. It's been a pleasure interviewing you today. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
And thank you for your vocation. It is so needed and so appreciated. Thank you so much, Father.
Pray for me.
I will.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.